Chapter 47, The Second Scene. It was not the first time that the pirates had whipped someone who upset him in the marketplace. It happened more times than anyone cared to remember. Most of the victims of this treatment were hard-working men whom the pirates had decided to teach a lesson with extreme punishment. The pirates even ordered people whipped with great cruelty simply if he thought that they didn't show him enough respect or honor. He was an evil and vicious man, unpredictably moody, who imagined himself to be the most important person in that part of the country. The curious crowd of onlookers knew what to expect. It usually took no more than two or three blows of the whip before long blue and red streaks appeared on the person's back. By the fifth blow, the poor man would be in terrible pain and blood would be pouring from his back. By the tenth blow, he would be screaming and begging the pirates to forgive him and to spare his life, promising to do anything the pirates wanted if only he would stop the whipping. With the next set of blows, the man would be nearly fainting, barely able to breathe. When his beating was completed, he would gather whatever strength he had left, crawl across the floor to the feet of the pirates, and kiss his feet. The pirates would be sitting on a tall, throne-like chair, enjoying the show. The victims of this treatment were not always able to crawl to the pirates' feet. Sometimes they would die from the brutal strikes of the whip. Most of the crowd were simple, uneducated peasants. It is difficult to know why they kept coming back to see people being whipped in the marketplace. Did they feel sorry for the person being whipped? Did they want to please the pirates, whom they all feared? Perhaps they simply had nothing better to do with their lives. This time, however, something unusual happened. As the whip rained down on the messenger's back, he did not utter a sound. The people looked at each other in astonishment. Why didn't he scream? This had never happened before. Even men far stronger than him would usually cry like babies. Even more surprising, there were no blue or red marks on the man's back. It was as if he was wearing an invisible protection. The pirate shifted impatiently in his chair. Something was wrong, he thought to himself angrily. Were the blows too soft? Or perhaps the branches were too thin or too dry? After the tenth blow, the pirate leaped out of his seat in a rage. He ordered someone else to take over the whipping and to use a different whip as well. However, nothing changed. The man still did not cry out in pain, and his back was free of any marks. The crowd could not believe what they were seeing. It did not make any sense at all. Their shouts of amazement grew louder with each fresh blow. When the 15 lashes ended, the man was untied from the wooden beam, and he looked around at the crowd with surprise written all over his face. He dropped onto the floor, crawled over to the pirates, and kissed his feet. He then stood up and walked quickly away without saying a word. Just then, the messengers that the pirates had sent to fetch Five-ish, the parish, returned to the marketplace. When the pirates saw them, he tried to calm himself down. At least he would still be able to enjoy the main part of his show, he thought. He would teach that Jewish parish a lesson he would never forget. It would be such a show that everyone would forget about the strange failure of the earlier whipping. Narrowing his eyes to see better, the pirates looked for Five-ish being dragged blindfolded to the platform, but Five-ish was not there. "Where is that foolish Jew?" he roared at his men, trembling with rage and disappointment. "We apologize, Your Honor," mumbled the men in fear. "We were unable to bring him." "What do you mean by that?" screamed the pirates as if he had lost his mind. "Where is he? Why did you not bring him?" "We just could not do it, Your Honor. It was too much for us. We tried, Your Honor, but when we drew close to him, we saw him sitting there looking so holy and separate from everything going on around him. He was wearing these black square boxes on his head and arm, and he was singing the sweetest prayers in a mysterious language. We did not dare to even open our mouths. We were just unable to disturb him, Your Honor. He is certainly a holy man." When he heard these words, the pirates went absolutely crazy. He was so furious that he could no longer control himself. He stamped his feet and waved his arms in all directions, screaming things that made little sense. He foamed at the mouth, and his eyes seemed about to pop out of his head. Once he had calmed down a little, he ordered the men tied up and whipped. He announced to the crowd that he would personally go to the parish and drag him all the way to the marketplace with his own two hands. "You will see, you cowards," he yelled at his men. "Weaklings, wimps, superstitious fools. These two hands of mine will grab the neck of that Jewish idiot. I will make him dance and jump around like a drunken goat. Oh, how he will dance! Ah, you will see!" The pirates ordered his horses and carriage prepared, and he sped off with some of his men. At the same time, he sent a messenger to order the local priest to accompany him in his mission to fetch the parish of Dubrovna for his show. Why did he need the priest? Perhaps he wanted to make the downfall of the parish more impressive. Or perhaps, deep within his heart, the pirates may have been afraid of confronting Favish all alone, and he believed that the priest had spiritual powers that would protect him. The priest was not at all pleased. He had heard that Favish was a holy Jew. Like many non-Jews in the area, he believed that the parish was a true saint. He did his best to try to convince the pirates not to harm Favish. But the pirates was determined to carry out his evil plan. Some quick-thinking person alerted the Jews of Dubrovna. The Rev and the heads of the community hurried together to see what they could do to protect Favish. They ordered all the Jews of the city to remain inside their homes so that the pirates would not meet any Jews along the way. That way, at least, no one else would get hurt by the wicked pirates. However, they realized that it would not be that easy to protect Favish from harm.